So after he killed Hiranyakashi Boo, on his way back to Vaikuntha, he stopped here for many reasons. And because Lakshmi Devi was not very fond of this form with mud all over his hands, he stopped here to wash his hands. And then he decided to rest here for some time. And when he rested here, all the major demigods, they came to this place, and they all constructed residential places on various hills in the area. And all the demigods lived here, and they all worshipped Nrsingadev. And when he left, this form of Nrsingadev was manifested. And from that time, the demigods stayed here worshipping this form. This is a very holy murti, one of the holiest of all the murtis of Nrsingadev. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. And there is another reason why Nrsingadev is because this is right in the border of Navadvip. So Nrsingadev is standing here guarding and protecting the holy dharam. Because as we know, Nrsingha is the protector of the devotees. Devotees pray to Lord Nrsingadev every morning and every evening, glorifying him for his unique quality that he's always watching over to protect those who are surrendered unto his lotus feet. I remember when our beloved Guru Maharaj, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was in his last years of his lila in this world. And at times he would fall into what appeared to be a very dangerous physical state of health, and it was apparently uncertain at these times whether he would stay in this mortal world along with us or whether he would depart back to his Lord Sri Krishna, the Loka Vrindavan. So at that time, when his physical health was in critical condition, the devotees felt in a completely helpless state, totally helpless condition. What can we do? We approach Prabhupada's devotees. What can we do? So Prabhupada said we could pray to Lord Nrsingadev. We could ask him if it is his pleasure, if it is according to his wish, his desire, that he protects me and allows me to stay here. So throughout the world, over 100 temples, there was 24-hour kirtan. Firstly, we would jam the prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. Actually, after every Mangala Arati, after every Arati, we chant the Nrsingha prayers for the protection of our movement, for the protection of our spiritual master, for the protection of our own spiritual minds. So therefore, the worship of Lord Nrsingadev is the most essential and important part within our lives. And in this most auspicious abode of Lord Nrsingha, where he has been worshipped for millions of years, we have the wonderful opportunity of taking his darshan and offering our prayers to him in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. You see, Prahlad Maharaj, he endured so many difficulties, so much torture, uncertain, and was very excited. And after Nrsingadev came and destroyed Hiranyakashipu, he said to Prahlad, "I will give you any benediction you desire. What do you want?" Prahlad said, "I endured no difficulties because I was simply remembering you. And when I remember you, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. The only thing to fear is to forget you. So because you were so kindly manifested within my heart, there was no anxiety in my life. Besides that, Lord Nrsingadev, I am not a businessman. I am not your servant worshipping you, thinking that I will get anything in return. That is not bhakti, that is not devotion, that is business. I will give you, you give me. I only want giving. I ask nothing of you." But Nrsingadev insisted that he takes something. So Prahlad asked for one thing. He said, "My dear Lord, this father of mine who tortured me, who tried to kill me in so many ways, he's so sinful. How much he has sinned in this world. If you want to fulfill my desire, liberate him from all his sins and let him go back to God." This is the quality of Mahabhagava. This is the glory of Prahlad Maharaj. So if you look carefully at this deity of Lord Nrsingadev, you will see under his left foot, Prahlad Maharaj is bowing down. Nrsingadev's head, foot is right on Prahlad's head. Prahlad is very comfortable in that situation. So if we can aspire for that situation and that situation alone, then we will also be in a very secure condition, even though living in this world of dangers. We should always aspire to humbly be in our prostrated form under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Some say he appeared in South India, in a place called Ahobala. But others say he appeared in Pakistan, in a place called Multan. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada, he says that many great authorities have said that Nrsingadev appeared in Multan, Pakistan. And factually, there is a temple on the top of a hill of Nrsingadev. And there you will find a deity with a pillar. And that is where he has been worshipped for a long, long time. I once went to that place. It is a very unusual place, because in all of Pakistan, it is considered the holiest place for the Muslims. Multan, it's in Punjab, where practically all Hindus were killed there during the partition wars. So there are many hills in this little area, and on top of each hill is a beautiful, beautiful, what do they call the Muslims? Samadhi. The tombs of all the great Muslim saints who lived in Pakistan are there. So many. And right in the center, in the heart of all of them, on the top of the highest hill, is a huge, beautiful temple of Lord Nrsingadev. Stone carved temple. Of course, there's no deity in there. The deities and everything. They don't like deities so much. But the pillar is still there. And the place where the deity was is still there. You can see a base carved out for the base for Nrsingham, real big, and then Prahlad. And we went there one night, just at about sunset. And we were told that when you go there, you should be very quiet, because nobody goes to this temple. It's totally abandoned. But everybody is too fearful to tear it down, even though it's in the choicest place, home of all the property. Nobody dares tear it down, because certain mysterious things have taken place there, to anyone who has tried to defile that place. So it's just sitting there, completely abandoned, nobody goes. So I went with a few other devotees. Very quiet, there's no lights, nobody. We entered into the chambers where the temple room was. It was pitch dark, just a little flashlight, and there was the pillar with a crack on it. Like a deep marble pillar that went all the way up through the dome. And it said, they say there, and many people say that is where he appeared. So we thought, well, here we are surrounded by people who are not very favorable toward this type of puja. So we should quietly chant in or sing a prayer, and then nobody will know that we're here. It was dark. So we started quietly chanting. And then we became so overwhelmed with enthusiasm that we started chanting very loud. Circumambulating the pillar. And at that time, several dozen people heard this chanting coming from the hill. And they came up to see what is happening, because nobody ever goes in that temple. So they came in with flashlights, and they flashed it in, and they saw us dancing around the pillar, chanting their singing prayers. And at that time, somehow or other, even though we are by nature very fearful and meek, the singer just overwhelmed us all with fearlessness. We just, kill us. It's all right, this thing is here, try, go ahead. They were all standing looking at us like, what do you think? Is there mercy? Huh? And we were just dancing, chanting. And we did that for 1 hour. And then we left. And everyone was just bewildered.
Some other incidents of Pakistan.
Is there any other stories about this place that you would like to tell? We don't have time. If you can put these 3 drops on the top of your head. What is the program now? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Saya Karuna
Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi.
Kripa. Oh,
we can go and dance in kirtan in the divine presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his eternal associates. So that same Navadvip Dham is manifested in this world. Therefore, it is eternal. It describes in the Shastra that at the time when Lord Sri Vishnu wants to create destroy the universe, first there is a great drought, and the sun intensifies in its heat and light by hundreds of times, and this causes a tremendous fire where everything is burning. This fire lasts for a great deal of time by our calculations. And then there is a deluge of rainfall. So factually, the whole cosmic creation is underwater within the universe. So it is described at one time during this night of Brahma, as he was resting, the four Vedas and their supplementary corollaries, they emanated from his mouth. And at that time, a very powerful asura, or demon, I believe his name was Madhu, he came and stole the Vedas. So the Lord incarnated as Hayagriva, and he killed the demon, Madhu, and recovered the Vedas. On another incarnation, this happens often, the Lord appeared as Matsyavatar, and during the waters of devastation, he took those Vedas which were rescued from the hands of the demon Madhu, and he kept the Vedas on a boat, and that Matsyavatar began to sail to the ocean of the cosmic dissolution. So Matsyavatar, knowing that the eternal land of Navadvip was the place where the supreme, most munificent Lord will appear, it is described that Navadvip Dham is like a lotus flower. Navadvip means nine islands. In a lotus, the perfect lotus has eight petals, and the center whorl is Antardvip, the place of Sridhar Mayapur, where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. That is in the heart of the center of the lotus of Navadvip Dham. And the other islands are like the petals that surround that main whorl of Navadvip or Mayapur Dham. So, Matsyavatar took the Vedic literatures and for safe protection, he placed them in the petal of Navadvip, which is where we are sitting now. And since that time, this has been called Vidyanagar, which means the place of knowledge. And it is described, because of this great benediction upon this place, many great souls have come here to reveal knowledge to the world. In the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Navadvip Mahatmya, he describes that it is here that Narada Muni compiled the Pancharatra and the Bhakti Sutras. It is here that Narada Muni instructed Valmiki and revealed to him knowledge by which he could write the Ramayana. It was here that Vyasadeva compiled many of the Puranas. It is described that here Kapila Dev also taught Samkhya philosophy. And Dhanvantari narrated the Ayurveda. So there is a great history to this place. Of course, the most intellectual of all the great celestial beings, the demigods, is Brihaspati. He is the guru for all of the devatas. So this Brihaspati, he understood that Lord Sri Krishna would appear in this world as Sri Gaura Sundar. And he wanted to take part in this leela. And he was given benediction by the Lord that he could do so. So that Brihaspati appeared as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And his particular leela, by the will of the Lord, was for the first part of his life, he was meant to be the most powerfully learned Mayavadi philosopher. So he taught Sanskrit and grammar, and this was the place of his ashram. Here he had thousands and thousands of students. Learned young people would come from all over the country to learn from this greatest of all scholars, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When it was revealed to him that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear in this world, he was thinking that this dry logic that I have to teach everyone, it will be very displeasing to the Supreme Lord. I don't want to be here when he appears in Navadvipa. So just before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided to leave here, left all his students here to continue on the teaching, and he went to Jagannath Puri. And he was thinking, the Lord is merciful. Without me interfering with his leela, he will come to Jagannath Puri to deliver me, to show me his mercy. So this place became very famous due to the influence of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's great teaching. And this became the high seat of learning for all of Navadvipa. And all young students would come here to learn. There were many, many teachers, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of students. There were so many students that practically each teacher had about 1,000 students. And they were all studying. This was the ultimate seat in the whole world for learning Sanskrit and Shastra. So the young boy Nimai, he chose as his teacher the great Gangadas Pandit, who it is said was incarnation of Sandipani Muni, the Krishna's Leela, who was Krishna's divine teacher. So Gangadas Pandit was a very great learned scholar, and he was also a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. So Nimai would sit just like a student and learn from him. And whatever Gangadas Pandit would teach, Nimai Pandit would learn it and remember it immediately. And he became so excellent in his learning abilities that no one could come near him. And Nimai would be, at this place, he would be very much proud in his own transcendental way that he could defeat anyone. And he would constantly challenge students, teachers, everyone. And he would utterly annihilate and humiliate anyone who came before him. We were describing at the home of Murari Gupta yesterday how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take a reference from the Shastra. Basically, it was based on grammatical rules. And he would absolutely defeat everyone else to establish a particular point. And he would say, does everyone agree with this? Is it correct? And they would all say, yes, yes, this is perfect. Who can argue with this? He'd say, I can argue with this. And then he would take every point that he spoke and tear it to pieces analytically and totally defeat it and come up with another conclusion, just the opposite. And he would say, so which one is right? they say, what you just said is completely right. It's irrefutable. You have completely established this as the truth. Does anyone, nobody, you already said that the first one was true. Nobody's going to defend. No, no, the second one. And then what he would do is he would tear to pieces every point in the second one and reestablish the first one as true. And everyone would just be in complete amazement. Just bowing down, thinking that whatever you say is true. You do not know anything else. This is the power of his learning. And it is described as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ganga used to flow very close to here. And here, all the students would bathe every day. And they would create a great commotion. Because you see, everyone had their different teachers. And there was competition, where the boys from one school's teachers would approach another's and say, your teacher is a rascal. Your teacher is a fool. He doesn't know anything. He's just dumb brain. But my teacher's the best. And they meant to be offended. And it's that throwing sand and mud and water in the Ganga. In this way, there was tumultuous fights. Nimai's team would always be going and defeating everyone. In this way, there would be thousands of students all throwing mud, throwing sand, splashing water. And all the people that would come to bathe in the Ganga, because of the turbulence, all the mud would rise. The Ganga would just be a complete muddy situation. And nobody could wash their clothes. They would go in, they would get all muddy, come off, but nobody could bathe, nothing. And Nimai would do this all day, every day. Sometimes he would just stay in the water without getting out half the day, just splashing and transcendentally upsetting the whole town of Navadvipa. So one day, while Nimai Pandit was sitting here in his classes for learning, he, in order to give shade to his students, he brought the twig that he was brushing his teeth with, and he pushed it in the ground. And from that little toothpick, this tree had grown. Immediately, just immediately started growing into this tree. And the local sadhus, they claim that experts in botanical science have come from different parts of the world to analyze this tree. And they find that there is no species like this tree anywhere on earth. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of course, you know the story in Jagannath Puri. He was later on liberated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he composed one verse in glorification of the Lord. To this Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya I offer my obeisance. So the purpose of vidya, or knowledge, jnana, is to establish that we are the eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiva Goswami asked Nityananda Prabhu that since the process of jnana is oftentimes so complex, most of the time jnana yogis, they discriminate on the basis of the shastra to come to the conclusion that we are all God, that we are none different than Brahman. So why does the Vedas or the spiritual literatures even contain such jnana? It's all useless, it's nonsense. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied that actually jnana, yoga, mysticism, they are all in the Vedas. But one who is in knowledge understands that they are all the maidservants of bhakti. They are all exclusively meant for the purpose of assisting bhakti. And due to enviousness and ignorance, people misuse these
and fail to see how they are all subordinate to the supreme goal of bhakti. And they take them in and of themselves to be the goal. And thus they are misled into the darkness of ignorance. So real jnana, real knowledge, according to Bhagavad Gita, is to understand the truth. And what is that truth? That we are all part of Krishna, and that we are in Him, and that we are His. That we are eternally His servant. And to render that service, that is the topmost perfection of knowledge. At Sri Rangam, there was one Brahmin, and he was reading the Bhagavad Gita, but he did not know how to read properly. So he would pronounce the Sanskrit not correctly. And all the learned pundits would criticize and laugh at him, ridicule, insult him. But every day he would go to the temple compound and read the entire Bhagavad Gita. So one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was staying there during 4 months of the Chaturmasya, he saw this Brahmin. He saw the Brahmin was crying while he was reading. He was trembling. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "What is it that you are doing?" He said, "My Lord, I really do not know how to read properly. I'm not a scholar. That's why everyone's laughing and insulting me. But my Guru Maharaj has told me every day you read Bhagavad Gita at this place. So I don't care what anyone thinks. The order of my Guru is my life. Well, what can I do?" The Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to see his devotion to his spiritual master. And then he said, "But if you do not understand so much, why you are crying?" He said, "Because while I am reading, I am picturing the beautiful form of Shamsundar, who has a beautiful blackish complexion and eyes like the lotus petal, and whose every limb is more beautiful than beauty itself. How he is accepting the position of his humble servant, carrying out the orders of Arjuna by driving his chariot. Such a merciful Lord, when I think, it brings tears to my eyes." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, "You are the foremost authority of Bhagavad Gita. You have understood the conclusion. The conclusion is not to be a literary scholar. The conclusion is bhakti, devotion, love. Bhagavatam describes dharma swanustatapun sang vishmukshinakatashiyatmanpariyagityatyamshanayi. That whatever occupation, whatever field you enter into in your life, if in the end it does not culminate in love of God, devotion to God, it is all wasted time. Useless. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, this is where he had his schooling. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, there are many chapters which describes the Lord's wonderful lila that he manifested to the world in this most sacred place of the